As I mentioned earlier, it's good to have D'Angelo and Katrina Yoder here, and I actually know both of them from years ago when I was in, Starla and I were actually in Bible school. They were little guys running around there, and I got to know them and their families. And yeah, it's good to have them here representing Ransom Ministries. And most of you are a little bit familiar with Ransom. We've talked about it. Becky was actually over there earlier this summer doing some teaching, and so we've heard little bits and pieces of it here, but it's good to have them there here to do a presentation this morning. So Daniel, if you want to come up, I'll just have a word of prayer with you. They came back, I think, the first part of December and had to get adjusted to some colder weather, I think. But, God, I thank you for D'Angelo, and I just pray for him in a special way this morning as he shares his heartbeat and your heartbeat, actually, for the ministry there in Thailand, Ransom Ministries, and just also Igo, and just sharing what you've laid on his heart. Father, I pray that you would just direct him this morning as he shares. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, thank you, Mark. It's good to be here. It's been a while since we sort of started planning for this trip, and now it's finally a reality. And the last couple of days, I wasn't sure if I was really ready for it to become a reality or not. This is sort of the first time that we have done anything like this before, especially as a family, and so hope it goes all right. That we're all stay in one piece. But it's very good to be here, and I know a few of you, never been here before, and so it's nice to see some of your old faces and some of the new ones that I as well. It was great having Mark and Starla over there at IGO the year before. Time goes so fast. And of course, Ben and Becky. Ben was one of my deep friends for many years. Grew up together later on in life. So it's good to be here with them. Before we get started, I'd like to just introduce my family so my family can come up. Give you a chance to see them. We've been over in Thailand now since 2010. We moved over there as a family in February, and I've been serving with Ransom Ministries there. So see if we can sing a song for you. Okay, come over here. Sawadee Kap. This is the Thai greeting, Sawadee Kap. And so they're still trying to get this down. They're learning it, but they're a little bit slow. Right? We're going to sing a song in Thai, but you'll recognize as the deer. Jit win yan gra ka hai, pra jau duet dong quang noi, gra hai hang nam, song ben quam platana, hang jit jai gra tiak, San sun praom song ben lo gam blang ti kem keng song ben pu diao ti karak tek tu song ben quam bratana ain chit chai katiak san sun praom. I should have introduced my family here first, I guess. This is Katrina, my wife, Dave and Ellie's Yoder sister, for those of you that would know her. Our oldest son, Caden, is 4, Jazer's 2, and Shadrach is 10 months. So that's our family. All right, we can go back up. Like I said, this is the first time we're doing this, so I'm try my best to get through what the Lord, feel like the Lord's leading us to go through here, but also keep in your in the time frame. I don't want to go over that. Like I said, we've been serving with Ransom since 2010, and it's had its challenges, but it's also had its joys and rewards as well. And so I'm very excited to be able to share with you a little bit of what God is doing in Thailand. Ransom Ministries, this is our logo. The only reason I'm sharing this is my wife sort of designed it, and I don't know if you can see it there or not, but it's, the bird is red in color, and that sort of represents a lot of different things when it comes to what we are involved in. When you think of red, I think of love. I think of Jesus dying and his blood spilled for us. And that is what we want to share with the ladies that we interact with. I also think of the red light district, a lot of the lights in the red light district, which the ladies that we're working with come from there. Also think of danger. You think of stop signs are red, and there's a very dangerous job that industry that these ladies are involved in. And also the picture of the bird just getting off of the hands of the lady there is a picture of freedom, and that's what Jesus can do as he changed the lives of the ladies, Thai ladies that are ministering to. Before I go any further into that, I'd like to just introduce IGO a little bit. I know there's a little bit confusion of what IGO really is. IGO is a missionary training school primarily, but it also has other ministries that have become a part of that, where it's sort of birthed off of from that as IGO has been running. Students came over and felt like the Lord was calling them to part of IGO to come back, and so they began different ministries. My father and my stepmom are on the right side here, Val and Barb, Rick and Renita Rhodes. He is the assistant administrator. My father's administrator. And then Gaylord and Celeste Barkman from Ohio. Their family is also serving, and he's the pastor there of the school. Then there's also the church planting ministry. Drew and Lissel Latin are serving with that. Their vision is to establish Anabaptist churches there in Thailand, and they are looking for more team members. So if anyone's interested in that, let me know and I can put you in contact with them. EFL is English for Life. That's what it stands for. Chad and Jenny Graber are the directors of that ministry. And then Kimberly is from Georgia. Amy's from Oregon. Leon's from Indiana, and Darren's from Ontario, and they work primarily in schools and in university there, North Chiang Mai University. They're focused on working with schools, college age kids, and university young people, sharing Christ with them through the avenue of the English language. Adam Ministries stands for Affirming Discipling Authentic Manhood. And Lannis and his wife, Agonitha, and their children are there, actually currently in Canada, but they're serving there, and their heart is for the Thai men. Sort of works in conjunction with Ransom. Ransom, we're focusing on ladies, and Adam is focusing on men, focusing on building relationships with them to share Christ with them. Another ministry that's also there that's serving the children of mainly the missionary community of people that are there of IGO and GTO, but they also do have some other children that are at the school. Asher and Teresa are in charge of that, and Glenda and Tanya are helping with that as well. And then there's also MTM. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. It stands for Macedonian Teaching Ministry. As a program designed to provide discipleship training for church leaders in mainly Southeast Asia. They have traveled to Africa before, but mainly focusing on Southeast Asia. And if you want more information on that, I also have some brochures for them, and you can check out their website. Then also, the Lauren Miller family is serving with IGO. They're IGO caregivers. Their focus is on member care and taking care of a ministry staff especially. So that's just a quick short rundown of the other ministries of IGO. And now I'd like to introduce the Ransom Ministries team to you. Rosa King, some of you may know her. She has been serving with us since the same time we moved over there. She moved over right soon after us since the beginning of 2010. And she is the Discipleship Skills Center assistant supervisor. We'll show you more on that later. I'm taking these in order of when they have come to us. Tip came and joined us in 2012, and she has been is invaluable to the team. She has a way in relating with the Thai people that we as foreigners just cannot bridge. And so she's does a lot of personal care and does a cooking for us, does a lot of running around for us, and is invaluable. Melanie Beachy is from Indiana. She's the Ransom Home Supervisor. And then Carolyn Roth is the DSC Supervisor. She's sort of the she's the one that's keeping everything running while we're over here. She's from Ontario. Melanie's from Indiana. And then Noelle is from Pennsylvania, Northern Pennsylvania. And she just joined us this past year. And then our family as well. So that's the team that we have currently. Feel very blessed with the team that we have. We've been working together better than I maybe I sometimes expected. I know one of the main reasons that missionaries return from the field is because of just team dynamics issues, and I've been blessed with a very good team, and I'm very grateful for that. Maybe I should back up. And that, I guess, quite obvious. Katrina and I are directors for the team, and because of the nature of the work, I'm not really involved with the bar ladies or the trainees. We're there to sort of facilitate the work that the staff, the five ladies, are involved in. We're sort of a support role to them. We meet with them, each of them, every other week, and have staff meetings and do things together as a team. So we're there to sort of facilitate them as they serve on the front lines. And it's been a blessing to do that. Now, I'm going to just share. Some people, when they think of Thailand, they're not exactly sure where it's at. Thailand and Taiwan are two different places. Taiwan is just below China there, and Thailand is over here on the left side of the screen. So it is two different places. And Thailand is a little, if you look at the size there, it's maybe hard to figure what size of country is it. It's a little larger than the state of Wyoming. If you take the state of Wyoming, it's just a little bit larger than that. So it's not really a very large country at all. But we're serving in Chiang Mai, which is in northern Thailand, and there's a beautiful climate there. We really enjoy it there. We're missing out on the best weather of the year right now. They're having the really nice time of the year, and we're over here enjoying your cold weather instead. And I thought, just to give you a little picture of where we're at in relation to U.S., if you bring us over on the latitude line, we'd be about where Jamaica is. So we're quite a bit south of where of the U.S. yet. So we enjoy our 100-degree weather during June and July. Not really. But it does get really, really warm over there. Now, before getting into what Ransoms really is and doing and involved in, I'd like to just share a little bit of a background of Thailand and some of the cultural differences that are there. In Thailand, many, many people are Buddhist. They often say that to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And statistics vary from anywhere from 84% to, I've heard as high as like 95, 98% of the Thai people are Buddhist. And so a very, very large majority of them are Buddhist. Very, very minimal amount, about 0.5% maybe, are evangelical Christian. And so the presence of darkness is very real. Chiang Mai has around 300 plus temples and wats, religious monuments of some kind. And so everywhere you go, there's reminders of the Buddhist belief belief and way of life in your face all over the place. Two things that you maybe commonly can remember as far as Buddhism. One is they would believe in reincarnation, so they are very careful with any animals and stuff like that. They believe in reincarnation, and then they also would believe in a place of no, a state of no desire. They call nirvana, or so this heaven, where they believe that you can get to this place of no desire, and these monks will sit for hours, sometimes days, not eating, not doing anything, trying to get themselves to this place where they don't desire anything, praying prayers, and their whole system is built on this thing of doing enough good things to hope that you'll come back in the next life as a better person. So they're constantly trying to please the spirits, and it seems like it's just a never ending cycle. Our desire is to see God's kingdom be built, and that the strongholds of Buddhism would be torn down and fall down as Jesus enters the hearts of the ladies that we're ministering to, that his kingdom could be built. Thailand is known as a land of smiles. There, everywhere you go, there seems like there's people smiling. Very, very little use of horns in Thailand. You go to a lot of neighboring countries and they'll use horns. But Thailand is, everybody is very congenial, at least most of the time. Get upset, to be angry, is very looked down on very heavily. And so any beeping the horns and stuff like that, they are very, very slow to do that. And you know if they do it, that you really made a mistake. So they're a very welcoming culture on the outside, very, very nice, very kind. But as you get into to know them more, you can see that there's a lot of unhappiness there as well, and lack of fulfillment. The boys tried to why for you. This is called a why. You can see the lady there doing it. And it's not a thing of worship in Thailand. This is when you're greeting someone older than you, then you keep it about right here in the middle. If you're greeting someone younger than you, you do it in the middle. Older than you, you do it higher. And then if you're bowing in worship or something, you keep it up high like this, up at your forehead. And so that's how they differentiate between, you know, just a greeting and something of worship. So when you see some people meeting each other, they'll come like this. They won't shake hands. They'll just greet each other like this. At first it seems sort of cold. It's like, well, you're not giving me a hug or anything, but that's just how they do it. So that's a little bit. Family roles and cultural norms in Thailand are very different than in U.S. Very difficult, still is difficult sometimes for me to really understand how people can think like this sometimes. But the daughters of a family are the expected ones to provide for their parents as they get older. And so this has huge complications for them as they get older and need to provide for their parents. And especially in a country that is growing economically, They are of many demands, and the greed is growing there as well. Whereas the sons sort of get off scot-free, at least in my mind, after spending a month or two, up to 3 months, at a monastery or at a temple as a novice monk, then they've fulfilled their duty to their parents. They've made the merit for their parents that parents and grandparents are looking for, and they can sort of just go off and do whatever they jolly well want to, while the daughters are left to provide for their parents and siblings, if they still siblings at home. I know one of my friends that is providing for her father. She's also providing for her sister to go to college, to university, so that she can get a better job. And she's also always often looking out for her nephew. And in my mind, sometimes it's like, you need to save some of the money that you have so that you can actually invest it in your future or be able to have a house she's been renting. But that's just how they think. And what they'll do for others then is also part of their culture then, that their siblings and stuff will help them out if they really come in dire straits and need help. It's a challenge to me, their giving, but at the same time, when the daughters are expected to carry the load, especially the financial load for their parents, it's all mixed up, and it makes for difficult family relationships as time goes on. And then another very common thing there in Thailand is elders, older people are very revered and honored. You don't say anything bad about them, and you listen to them, what their advice, whatever they're asking of you to do is very, very, very important. And like I said, many, many people in Thailand are Buddhists, and along with that comes very intense spiritual warfare at times, and we face that from time to time. There's pictured here are two spirit houses. They will often have these outside of their homes, or if it's a business, they'll often have those outside of their house or business. They'll bring food and drinks and offer those to the spirits on a very regular basis. And here are some monks going out to collect their food for the day. If you get up early in the morning, you'll see them out walking along the road, collecting the food and money for the day. So people are expected to give to them. And as these ladies are giving, I'm sure the monks are chanting prayers over them, helping them to earn merit, and hopefully they believe they would have a better life than because of that. So to say there's no battle is to lose before we start, and that was something that was very, very became very clear to us as we became involved with moved over there and became involved with Ransom. I knew there was a lot of spiritual warfare, but as we really started delving into helping these ladies, it became more and more apparent that there was many things that we hadn't realized and that we needed a lot of prayer and protection for. Just a few statistics on Thailand yet before we get into Ransom Ministries. Prostitution is technically illegal in Thailand, but the law is rarely enforced. Estimates the number of individuals prostituting vary from 30,000 to more than 1 million, and that's a huge variance, I recognize, but the reason being is because it is illegal, and there's a lot of illegal people doing it, illegal ladies coming to Thailand from all over Southeast Asia. It's very hard to monitor how many are actually involved. And so the estimates are, 30,000 is extraordinarily low 1 million may be high. I've heard of a city in Thailand that has close to 30,000 just in its city alone. So I think 30,000 is definitely on the low side, but there's a big, large spectrum there. In Thailand, it is commonly estimated that 60% of the male tourists participate in the prostitution industry, but make up less than 20% of the total who participate in this industry. By that, I'm saying a lot of the tourists that come, a lot of the male tourists that come, engage in this, but they are really just a small fraction of what of those that are frequenting the bars. And the Thai men are really what keep it going. If it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be what it is. And because of that, the government really sort of winks an eye at the bars, because it generates so much income for the country. An income from prostitution is generally 25 times greater than an income from any other work in a rural area. And notice I underline rural. City jobs, they can make more than that, definitely more than a rural area, and it wouldn't be 25 times greater than a city job. But the problem is many of these ladies cannot obtain a normal job, and I'll get to that here in a bit. I'll finish out here. Not all bar girls are engaged in prostitution, but they run a high risk of prostituting themselves, since the bars usually encourage it. Not all the ladies that work in the bars, even that the ladies go into to talk with the bar girls, not all of them would be prostituting themselves, but it is very much encouraged by the bars to do that, as it brings more customers to their bar. Bars often play a very low flat rate, and so the ladies will receive tips by selling alcohol to the customers, and also them selling themselves. That's how they really make more income. So like I said, Thai law is that there isn't any that you can't be prostituting yourself, and no underage. Children under 18 are not supposed to be out, but that is definitely not all enforced. And see that quite often. Oftentimes, we had different ladies that were working in the bars, and if the police show up, the ladies all, if they don't have an ID card, they scatter, and the bar owner will just pay a fine to the police, and they'll let them go, and they go on, and business continues as it was. If the ladies get caught, then they can be tried to ship back out of the country, but oftentimes they're not. Oftentimes it's just winked at and continued on. So what are some of the pressures that drive ladies into prostitution? Family pressure is a huge one. Like I said, there's a huge reverence for their parents, a lot of reverence for their older relatives, and living in a village, there's not a lot of hope of anything different there. There's basically just sustenance rice farmers out in the village, and so if they're going to get anywhere, quotes, anywhere in life, they're going to have to go to the city and get a job. The problem becomes, out in the village, they do not have much education, or very, very little education. Sometimes a teacher may come through the village once a week or something like that. So their education is very, very poor. They can speak Thai, but many of the ones that live way out in the village, they cannot read or write Thai. And so one of the things that we offer is Thai classes for the Thai ladies that to be able to learn to read and write. But there's immense family pressure put on them to go to the city and to make money so that they can build a concrete house instead of living in their bamboo houses or wood houses, and buy all those latest gadgets. It's amazing to me how even in Thailand you go way out in the village and they'll have a fancy smartphone or something like that. So there's a huge drive to raise money for their family. And because of that, and there's not been any biblical input in their culture for many decades, centuries, I don't know how long, very, very little, they often will yield to that pressure. They've been taught this is okay. Prostitution is looked down on, but it's not looked down on enough that to stop it. And so family pressure is intense. There's also, like I said, the lack of education and then the lack of work. The village and city life is two completely different stories, two different lives. And we see some of that maybe here in the U.S., but it's not to the degree that it would be there. You have city life being of such that, you know, you go in and get a job and you need an education for that. We're out in the villages, they're just working the rice fields, bringing in rice, they sell that at a market or whatever, and continue on with their lives. But if you're going to work in the city, you're going to need much more than that. Top picture up here is a picture of Chiang Mai, the city that we're in there. And this is just some village shots, most likely northern Thailand. Many women enter into prostitution because they feel they really have no other choice. Imagine that you live in a village, you have never gone to school, so you can't read or write, and when it comes to math, multiplication, and division, you don't have a clue. Maybe because your family is poor, or perhaps it's because you want to, maybe perhaps it is because you won't even want to go to school. You decide to move to the city. Upon arrival in the city, there are very few jobs that don't require some type of schooling, or at least a second, third grade level. So prostitution seems to be the answer. You don't need schooling to make money that way. There are countless scenarios like this that happen to ladies. And so, although there may be many women who are not, in quotes, forced in a physical sense, most have extremely limited options. And so part of our vision is to give them the skills that they need to really flourish in life by entering a relationship with Jesus, and then to also give them skills occupationally so that they no longer have to work in that kind of situation. People sometimes ask, are the ladies that you work with forced into prostitution? It's a hard question to answer because it's sort of a yes and no. They're not chained there. Many the ones that we work with are not chained there, but they don't really have any other option. They have no education, they have no money, no means, and so they come to the city to try and get a job. Their parents are on them, and so they end up working in the bars. We met many, many, many ladies that feel that way. Now I'd like to share a little bit of what Ransom is involved in. And for that, we have a little video clip that I'd like to share with you that give you a little idea. Ransom Ministries is a ministry of Institute for Global Opportunities, also known as IGO. The Ransom Ministry mission is to bring pleasure to God by rescuing women in prostitution or at risk. Our vision is to show Christ's love and compassion by offering the hope of the gospel to ladies in the red light district here in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Our desire is that they find true healing in Jesus Christ and extend that hope to others who come from similar circumstances.
The main reason for outreach and going into the bars to meet the ladies is that if we don't go to them, there's a huge chance that they may never encounter Jesus or even just have hope for a way out of their current lifestyle. I think there's just something that impacts them so deeply if someone just takes the time to go to them, just to meet them in their pain, in their messiness, and in their neediness, and just loves them right where they're at.
One of the ways we build relationships with the women we meet on outreach is by offering English and Thai classes. We teach these classes 3 afternoons a week at the Ransom Home. This interaction gives us an opportunity to share the gospel and to show them God's love. Also, most times Thai people are open to prayer, so we ask for prayer requests and pray with them before we dismiss each class.
If there is genuine interest from the women to leave their work and pursue other ventures, we invite them to work in our card room and enter our training program at the Discipleship Skills Center. We also offer housing for the women so they can be close to the Discipleship Skills Center and as a result provide a sense of community, family, and accountability for them.
Welcome to the DSC. This place comes alive with activity every morning around 8:30 with singing, prayer, and Bible study for the first hour. After that, the trainees make cards until 5 p.m. except for a half-hour lunch break at noon. The card room is an interesting place where all sorts of conversations happen. What I love most about this ministry is being able to hear the ladies' hearts and to see God at work in their lives.
สวัสดีค่ะชื่อทิพย์นะคะทำงานที่นี่มา2ปีกว่าแล้วนะคะก็ทำงานที่นี่ก็สนุกแล้วก็ชอบแล้วก็เป็นงานที่ท้าทายเนาะที่เพื่อมีโอกาสที่หนุนใจน้องๆโดยผ่านทางพระวจนะคำของพระเจ้าในทุกๆเช้านะคะแล้วก็มีโอกาสทำอาหารให้กับทุกๆคนที่เป็นเจ้าหน้าที่แล้วก็น้องๆที่นั่นทานด้วยนะคะแล้วก็มีโอกาสได้ประกาศข่าวประเสริฐของพระเจ้าในไปหาน้องๆที่ในบาร์นะคะก็ซึ่งสำแดงความรักให้กับน้องๆแล้วก็มีโอกาสได้แชร์เรื่องราวของพระเยซูคริสต์ให้กับเขาก็อยากให้ทุกท่านนะคะฝากอธิษฐานเผื่อทุกท่านที่จะอธิษฐานเผื่อพวกเรานะคะที่เราจะสามารถที่จะเป็นคนหนึ่งที่นำน้องๆเหล่านั้นมารู้จักกับพระเจ้าและให้น้องๆเหล่านั้นรู้จักกับความรักของพระเจ้าและก็รู้จักคุณค่าของตัวเองค่ะขอบคุณค่ะ
Many ladies are working in the bars because they don't have the skills needed for better jobs. For 8 weeks each year, we offer a more intense discipleship vocational training. The vocational training is a drawing factor.And a good entrance into the general program of the DSC. During the discipleship vocational training, Bible classes taught by guest teachers are the focus of each morning. Then 3 afternoons a week, classes are offered in baking, computer, sewing, and housekeeping. The rest of the weekly schedule is filled with making cards as usual. These weeks provide us with a great opportunity to walk alongside the ladies as they add to their skills and process all their learning in the Bible classes.
Our dream is for these women to carry the ransom mission forward by reaching out to other women in the red light districts of Chiang Mai. Each of us has been ransomed by Christ's blood, and in turn, we strive to live that model so that these women who are lost and hurting can be set free by the truth.
That gives you a bit of an idea of whatRansom is involved in, and I think I'm going to skip through some of this just to save some time. Here. This is the Ransom Home where we offer English and Thai classes. The window on the top, the third floor there is where the Thai classroom is. Tip teaches classes there, and then the middle... floor is where the English classes are taught. This facility is also used before ladies go out on outreach and do that twice a week. Usually on Tuesday and Friday nights, the ladies will go out into the bars and they'll meet here for a time of worship and prayer. And this building is not far from one of the bigger red light districts of Chiang Mai. And so,We want it to be close enough that makes it easy access for the ladies to come, but also we had been right on a main street and found out that it probably wasn't the best location just because as other people drove past and saw their friends in there, give them a hard time for being there. So we moved to this location, which is tucked in a little bit more. So that's sort of the entry place where we...Because out on the streets, in the bars, it's not a real good place to have a conversation. The music is loud, and there's lights, and it's dark, and there's customers coming. And so it's very difficult to really sit down and have a good conversation. So we go in and try to meet them and invite them to come to the ransom home, where we can begin teaching them English or Thai and just...more of a place to build relationship with them. After completing 15 hours of study at the Ransom Home, we'll give them a certificate of achievement. Certificates are a very big deal in Asia, and so we give that to them not that we're certified, but just to recognize that the accomplishment that they've made. This is the Discipleship Skills Center. This is in the Mubon, we call it, which is the same thing as like a development here in U.S. As we live in and all of our staff live in. We also have some training housing for the trainees, one house right across the street from this, and then another one, another place of development, so the ladies can walk to work, walk over to the Skills Center. All the cards are made in that bottom floor of the Skills Center. This past year, we in 2014, we had the first banquet that we've had in history of Ransom, where around beginning of April, somewhere in there, we started inviting a bunch of ladies from the bars. We went to the bars that ladies had been going to, and just passed out invitations to come to a banquet that we were going to be having at a hotel. And reason for that is we had another Thai friend that shared her testimony of how she had been working in the bar and how Christ had brought freedom to her and her walk with Christ, and shared Christ with them. And then as an extension of that, invited the ladies that were present there to come to go through the discipleship vocational training that we then offered, and that Ben and Becky were a part of. And so that was a big evening for us. We didn't know what to expect, if we were going to end up with any ladies coming or lots of ladies. The Thai people can be very non-committal, and so change their minds very quickly. And beings that we're foreigners, that just makes it even more difficult. I trust these foreigners that we don't really know them. And so, again, Tip was very valuable having her on the team. And she was helped make everything happen and had some games and things for them. So then after the banquet, then we told them that they were welcome to join the discipleship vocational training, which then began about a week and a half later. We started that. And when we, about a week before, we thought we were going to have about 12 ladies. About a day later, we were down to about 3 or 4. And then the next day, I think it was something like this, it was down to, we didn't think we were going to have any ladies. Then it was back up to 9. And it was just like this emotional roller coaster of not knowing what in the world is going to happen. Are we going to do this? Are Ben and Becky going to come over here and there's not going to be any ladies here? And it was just sort of up and down. And part of that is the culture of ladies that work in this industry, just because they don't know what's happening and they don't trust people. Their trust has been broken many times. And so they change their minds very quickly, very easily. As it turned out, we had 3 ladies that came for the training, and we offered training in sewing, baking, computer skills, and then cleaning. As there was only 3 of them, we decided there was more interest in the baking, so we decided just to run that training instead of trying to run a training just for one person. So we end up just having the baking training. So that's what the ladies are doing here, involved in. This picture is taken in the top floor of the DSC there, where we have like a classroom. So for 8 weeks, then they were involved in making baking things. In the morning, it was 2 class sessions. Different speakers came in and shared in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they were either making cards. They made cards 2 afternoons, I believe, a week, and then the other 3 afternoons, they were receiving some baking training. This picture here then is taken as a graduation at the completion of the training. We had a little graduation ceremony for them, and it was just such a reward to hear how the Lord had spoken to their lives as a result of that 8 weeks. It was a blessing. Sadly, they're not all doing real well. One of them has gone back to her life in the bars because her dad is demanding money to buy a vehicle, or at least that's part of the reason, and working with making cards was not enough income for her, and so she is no longer with us. But the other two are still with us. Ransom Mobile, just real quickly, is another branch of Ransom, and that's the branch that Rosa is involved in. She's developed a series on godly femininity, and she goes and shares that to other countries alongside of MTM. And she's been, I believe, India, Nepal, and Indonesia, sharing about what godly femininity really looks like. And she has done very well with that. That's where her heart is at. What can you do? And this is where the whole reason for the PR trip is we really would like to garner prayer supporters. And so if you are at all interested in being a prayer supporter for Ransom, we would very much appreciate that if that's something that you had sensed a calling in, especially before. Because, like I said, the spiritual warfare is intense. And we have prayer cards in the back that you can grab. There's also a sign-up sheet that twice a month we try to send out a prayer update to those that are praying for us. So if you're interested in praying, we would immensely appreciate that. And there's some ways that you can pray for Ransom. Pray for wisdom and spiritual protection. For energy and strength and vision, it seems like so oftentimes we're just dog tired from the constant challenges, relationships between the trainees and what the next step looks like and what do we do now. Seems like they're constantly trying to wiggle around different things. And so appreciate your prayers. And I think I'll just close with saying there's a PR table at the back there. You're welcome to pick up any literature that you'd like. There's some information on IGO as well. If you're interested in coming over as a student, we'd enjoy having you. There's some, if you'd like to sign up for the newsletter, we send that out by email and also hard copy. So you can sign up for either of those if you'd like one of those. And then there's also cards available on a donation basis that if you'd like to have any of those, you're welcome to that. I was hoping to open it up for some question and answers time, but it looks like our time is vanished. So I'll stop with that on turn. You want to go ahead and do that? All right. Do you have any questions that you're on the tip of your tongue you're wondering about? Or
do you have any kind of an average age group that you are dealing with those groups?
An average? I would say we don't have an average that we're necessarily working with. They have to be 18 before we'll take them into the program, just because legally we can get into trouble because they're not supposed to be working if they're under 18. But I think the oldest one we've had so far is about 32, somewhere in there. Most of them would be between 18 and 25, I would say, the vast majority. But we haven't set a cap limit on how old we'll. Any other questions?
Do you get any pushback from bar owners by coming in and taking their employees away?
That's a good question. So far, we haven't really had any pushback. There's been a few times where they knew that they probably weren't the most welcome, but it wasn't like they told them to get out of here and don't come back. We really try to maintain a working relationship with the owner as much as we can, just so that they'll allow us to come in. One of the streets that is more heavily populated with tourists, they would be the more pushy, not as welcome, some of the bars on that street. But because we're just coming in and offering classes, sometimes the bar owners will even encourage them to take to go with us because if they get English, that can help them. And so we aren't doing it for that purpose. We're doing it so that we can actually engage with them. But yeah, we've actually had very little pushback so far. But it is something that we are aware of and try to be careful with. Any odds? All right, good question. Yes, the speaking Thai is basically you have to be able to do that before we're able to really engage with the ladies, because very, very few of them speak English or not real good English. Again, it sort of depends on this part of the city, but if you're going to develop a deep relationship with them, you're going to have to speak Thai. They might know enough English to get by saying hello and a few things, but if you're really going to establish a relationship, you're going to have to learn the language, which is a very large hurdle. I mean, I don't know if you're listening to Tip there. It's a tonal language, which means they have five tones. They have a high tone, a low tone, a mid tone, a falling tone, and a rising tone. So you can say one word, and it can mean five different things depending on what you say, how you say it. Like ma can, just the words M-A-A can mean dog, it can mean horse, it can mean your mother, and it can mean wood. I forget what the other one is, but so you have to make sure you're saying the right tone. Now, if you're a foreigner, they'll probably understand to a certain extent, but if you say it wrong, they often are a little confused, like, what are you saying? And you're just like, I'm saying the word, but why don't you understand me? It's about like one time I had a lady come to me in Asia, and she's like, I'm speaking English, but you don't understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not English. I don't know what that is, but I can't understand you. Yeah, so Thai is a very important. And so for the first year, year and a half, they're heavily involved in learning Thai. All our Thai staff have been. Now, for Katrina and I, we really speak very, very little. I'm fairly heavily involved with IGO's ministry trips as well. And since we really don't have to speak Thai, we just have not had the time to be able to devote to learning Thai. So Katrina and I do not speak very well at all. Any other questions? Okay, yeah, how do we deal with the personal safety of the ladies going in? We ask that they always take a cell phone with them. And initially, we had gone sort of into the area that the ladies were at, not to the exact street and bars where they were at, but in that area, so that if something would happen, we were right there. But as time went on, the ladies really felt comfortable there. And I just really honestly believe that dressing modestly and a veiling is a protection that the Lord offers to the ladies. They go in there in confidence. The most pushback that they've received is actually from other foreigners in the bars, making fun of them, making deriding comments, derogatory comments of them, because they know that the ladies going in are not in there doing what the bar ladies are. I mean, there's such a contrast. So they know that they're in there for a totally different reason, and the foreigners don't like that. But for their safety, we just ask that they take a cell phone, and if they need any help, they can get a hold of us. Any other question?
I've heard of Thailand, the prostitution industry, Thailand being referred to as the prostitution capital of the world. My question is in regards to the existing Thai church. How much interest is there? How much do they care about this dilemma, the prevalence of this? Are they indifferent? Could you speak to that?
Sure. Good question. Unfortunately, they are quite indifferent. And it's looked down on. And so to go working with ladies in prostitution is like working with these people that nobody wants to associate with. And so there are a few churches in Chiang Mai that are actively involved, but there's very... very difficult, and there's not a lot. Most of the Christian church is very uninvolved, unfortunately. That's part of what the network of those in ministries like Ransom are trying to encourage the church and trying. We're part of our vision is to link the ladies that come and our trainees with a Thai church to get them established with the church so that they after, because we don't see them ourselves as an end. We don't want them to come work for us the rest of their lives. We want to give them the training that they need and then let them go, send them out so that they can continue, they can work a normal job, be a part of a normal church, and not just be in this little bubble that we have going on. So, yeah, there unfortunately there isn't a lot of involvement and it's very, very looked down on. Any other question yet?
Would you feel free to comment on the stability of the government?
On the stability of the government. The government has, yeah. It seems like the news sort of makes a big deal about a lot of things. I really have never been that, felt that scared about anything. But now we are up in Chiang Mai, which is removed somewhat from the political upheaval. But we... there is a lot of unrest, but that Thailand has a history of constantly these coups taking over. It's I hadn't realized it until doing hearings more recently. The coups are just constantly taking over. So it's something that they almost see as sort of normal. They do get very upset. I mean, there are definitely a lot of animosity between the two parties and the people that are in those parties. And they will often actually not... even if you're in a red shirt part area, they won't talk about the yellow shirt or the red. If you're in the opposing party's area, then they are very hesitant to talk much because they know it could be bad for them. But we as foreigners have never really felt the punch at all. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for letting us come and share. And God bless you. I'll turn the time back over to.
Thanks, Daniel, for sharing and for giving us a picture of what happens there. And this was our missions Sunday, and we had some other things planned that didn't happen this morning. And I think we're just going to end up with having prayer. And I'd like, if we would just stand up, Jason is going to... Actually, Jason, do you want to just say a word or two? I'll just have you come up. That way, I don't think anyone has a mic available right now.
So I just wanted to let you guys know that tomorrow morning I'll be leaving for a couple of months. So if you don't see me around here, that's why. I'll be spending a few weeks in Central America, a few weeks in Scandinavian countries, several weeks in China, and a few weeks in Australia. And kind of like I've been doing before, it's just traveling, meeting people, making connections, and a lot of these places, I don't know who I'll be meeting or where I'll be staying. But the beautiful part is that God has always just brought someone that I stay with, someone that I meet, and wonderful connections and friendships. I would covet your prayers in that for safety. Most of it's pretty safe. There's an area in Western China where there's a lot of conflict between radical Muslims and the communists that I'm a bit nervous about, but I guess it just makes it more exciting. So I look forward to coming back in a few weeks, and pray for me if you think about it.
That's couch surfing at its finest right there. Jim, do you want to say a couple words?
I don't want to steal anything from Rand. But Mark asked if I'd share a couple things, and lunch is waiting out there, so yeah. I could identify with Mr. Yoder and the whole trust thing. You saw the video a couple weeks ago and saw that we have a multi-ethnic school, and we also this year are privileged to have a multi-ethnic faculty, and that overcomes a lot of those humps. But the idea of not sure what's quite going to happen in terms of enrollments. We experience that at the beginning of every school year. And this family is coming, and then three families are coming, and then no families are coming, and then two show up. So that's an interesting thing. And the whole thing about language. I think another gentleman and I on the faculty are the only two faculty members that don't speak Spanish. All the rest of the faculty does now. And that's after 10 years, one would think that maybe we'd have figured that out, but it hasn't happened yet. a number of praise notes, and we have you to thank for some of these praise notes. God's given us 10 years of health and strength, except for a hospital experience maybe 6-7 years ago. There hasn't been any major health issues, and that's been a huge, huge blessing. We've had 10 years of support from the Missions Fund here, and also quite a few individuals, a number of different individuals that support us on a monthly basis, and we praise God for that. In fact, in the audience here this morning, some of you pray for us on a regular basis. Some of you are prayer warriors. Some of you give to our support. Some of you are tuition partners for some of our kids, and you heard a little bit about that on the video a couple weeks ago. We lived from, I think, the early 90s till about this year without health insurance. And this year, for the first time, you guys picked up our health insurance for us through MediShare, and we are hugely, hugely blessed by that. Thankfully, we haven't needed to use it yet. But it's been a huge blessing to know that it's there, and thank you to the missions team very, very much for that. And also, God's blessed us with a generous year-end offering. I've been away from home for more than a week, and so I really don't know what's at the post office yet, but God has been supplying our needs at school as well as personally, and we praise Him for that. A number of things to pray for us for, continued health and strength. It's a challenge to motivate these kids and put a dream in their hearts. A lot of them grow up in situations where they really don't see a future. And so somehow to let them know that God has a purpose, a meaning, a plan for them is really stretching for a number of them. And so we pray daily for wisdom to know how to do that. Dan Ruthie works primarily with the quizzers and also in the library, and she's got a really challenging group of quizzers this year. They seem to be busy with lots of things besides quizzing, and so patience for her. I get to hear all these stories at dinner in the evening, and it is a stretch for her. And then also just for some of the quirks of living in the city. We love living in the city. It's been a good 10 years, but we woke up the morning we were supposed to have left, Christmas morning actually, to leave for the South. For Christmas, and a hot water heater had blown a hole in its side, and there's a big hole in our basement for reasons that I'll tell some of you at lunch if you're interested, but all the water ran into this big swimming pool we have in our basement, and so thankfully it didn't flood the basement, but we wound up with cold water and had to heat the water in the stove for a bath. Now, we're supposing that's going to be fixed by our landlord by the time we get back, but that's not 100% certain. So there's just things about living in the city that get kind of interesting. But most of all, pray that God would use us to continue to introduce youth to Him and build them. I'm privileged this year to have one of our middle schoolers who was kind of a rascal in middle school, who got connected with Jesus at camp one year, matured through high school, has been on a number of missions trips with one of our pastors, Daniel Pollard, and now is a member of our church and actually sits on our school board. So one of our middle schoolers is now sitting on our school board and helping to direct the school that he was a student at. And to see that kind of thing happen over the time that we've been there is just a real opportunity for celebration. A number of ways that you can partner with us, come see us. A few of you have. You haven't yet. We're still waiting for that. Follow us on Facebook. We're friends with some of you. Also opportunity to be a prayer warrior and a tuition partner. So maybe you want to go back to the prayer screen. And I think you said something about prayer for us this morning.
Yeah. I think what we'll do in closing, if we'll just stand and we'll spend, I know it's getting later here, but we'll spend a few minutes in prayer. If some people could get around Jim and we'll all pray together about these things. But Jim and Ruthie, and pray for them. If a group right here... Actually, Vernon, would you be okay leading it in prayer for Lois Lapp? And then the youth over here, would some of you just pray for Austin and his work up at camp? And also another group, Earl, maybe you could sort of take charge in leading out for Joel and Emily as they're in Belize for about 3 weeks here, whatever time they're there, just but remembering them. And a group right, I guess... I don't know if Katrina's in, but maybe a group can gather around Daniel and Katrina. They're in the back, their family, have prayer for them. And then also some people around Jason over here. John, would you sort of take charge of that part of it? And let's just spend a few minutes praying for those different groups of people, and then I'll have prayer for the meal at the end of that. So let's just stand together and do that. And everyone... You just get in groups. If you're not right around them, just in and pray for one of those. you could just wrap up those groups. Let's all stand together. One thing I wanted to say yet, Dan Minnick says hi to everyone, and let's continue to be in prayer for him and Arlene. And also, just one announcement I failed to make earlier. There's the orphanage in Mexico is still looking for two caregivers. They're looking for a girl and a guy starting April 1st. And if you have any interest in that, any of the youth, contact me and I'll put you, either me or Merlin, I think. Merlin, do you have this information as well? Okay. Contact me and I'll put you in contact with who you need to be. One other thing you can just pray for, I'm starting a week of meetings actually down in at Central in Delaware starting tomorrow night through Sunday night. So you can be in prayer for that in this coming week. Let's just bow our heads for closing prayer. Father, I thank you for just for us being able to be reminded again that your work is going out around the world. And your mission is being accomplished, and that's to reach the hearts of people no matter where they're at, no matter what they're involved in, no matter what country they're in. But your heart is to draw people to you. And Father, I just pray that we as a church could continue to be actively involved in joining you in your heartbeat for missions and for reaching people, whether it's right here in our community or whether it's around the world. Lord, the need is great. And I pray that you would continue to stir in our hearts for us to be actively involved in your mission. And God, as we leave this place, I pray that your presence would go with us. And I pray a blessing on the food as we partake of that and as we fellowship together. I thank you for the opportunity that we have of just fellowshipping together and around the meal. And I pray a blessing on that time. In Jesus' name, amen.